if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome to episode 363 of this here podcast, and this here podcast is BRB UK. Woo. I'm Dan, I'm one of your hosts. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, and you can't keep quiet even for 30 seconds, can you? It's Tim.
Hello.
There he is over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tim.
Yes?
Shut up. Oh. Coleman.
Hi.
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 Hi. You all right?
I'm good. I'm wired. I'm amped. Let's do this.
Were you impressed? I was given instructions by Coleman last week, because he wasn't on the show.
Yeah.
Not to swear as much, and I think I did one swearsy.
You did one swearsy, which is good, because the last time I asked you very nicely if you could not swear so much on the show to save me a bit of editing time, I believe you strung together 16 swear words in a row.
Was it 16? Did you have to, is that a number that's etched in your mind because of all the bleeps you had to edit in?
I remember being very angry at the time. It wasn't even to save time. It was, I'm just using this new system and I haven't figured out how to curse out swear words. So if you do it, you're going to add to my night. And you just went for it.
Oh, you see, that would have been useful information to know, because then I genuinely wouldn't have done it.
No, you swore and then you went, oh, we're not meant to swear because Coleman hasn't figured out how to do it yet. And then you swore like a bunch of times in a go.
Oh, maybe I did know then.
And I was livid.
See? I told you.
Oh, Coleman.
That was a while ago as well. That was when editing used to take me to like 5 in the morning sometimes.
Right, I'm going to jump in before it gets to 5 in the morning again, because before we get to the gaming-related news, I have some gaming-related news.
Tim, have you been playing with yourself again? Because we've talked about that before. That is not mobile entertainment.
It's something we have discussed before on the show, but today I officially cancelled my Google Stadia order.
Do you know what? I might do that as well.
Oh, see, part of my reasoning, though, was because you're still getting it, Dan, and that it didn't harm coverage for the show.
Oh, for God's sake, so you want to pay for half of it, then?
No. Like, well, that's the thing as well. I didn't want to spend that amount of money at that time of year.
Well, I'll tell you what, Coleman's getting my buddy 3 month pass, then.
Yeah. I was going to say, you both can't cancel because I'm owed a buddy pass here.
You're owed a buddy pass.
It's the only reason I didn't order myself.
You'll get my buddy pass.
Yeah.
It's like Brokeback Mountain, but with fibre to the premises. It's amazing. I just can't quit you.
It's a case of, if I'm going to have to shell out money for the console at times when I could be shelling out money for games, at that time of year, it's a bad time to do it. And I'd have to buy that and games for it on top of it. And then...
No, you would have got Destiny.
Exactly. Like,
Don't diss it.
If they'd mentioned one other game. At the moment, I don't even know if there's any games available for the platform beyond what's available on every other platform. So that doesn't seem to bother me too much.
Baldur's Gate. Orcs Must Die. 2 exclusives.
Well, the thing is, I still think you can make a moderately okay case for it if you don't own a gaming PC. But I do own a gaming PC, and yet I've still got an order for this. Hey, good news, Ghost Recon Breakpoint's on it.
Oh, good.
If you want to spend money while you spend money, that's the game for you.
If you want some broken jank, then go for Breakpoint.
If I go for broken jank, I like slamming mine in a door. No, that's broken junk.
But also, I don't even know, there was an interview that kind of blew up this week. I think it was an interview with one of the higher-ups in Stadia. I'm not sure exactly who, but they were talking about the fact that in a couple of years' time, it will be even better because it will predict your clicks.
That's slightly scary, actually.
They said in 2 years, Google Stadia will be able to compete with the top-end hardware because of this feature. It's like, 2 years? Hey, you know that thing that we're asking for, what is it, 130 quid for? How about that works better in 2 years?
Is that, how about you give us some money now and yeah, we'll do something good for you in about 2.5 years? How's that sound?
That sounds like early access, Dan.
The money that I will save in possibly getting a lower access to the console now, if it's not a lower price than this in the future, I don't know, like, but 119 quid I think it was that I got in at, but the money I'll save on not paying them the 15 quid a month or whatever it is, in the 2 years time I'll go, okay, well, in 2 years time let's see what you got, and then that's, I know what I'm getting for my money at the moment, other than access to basically, you know, a good gaming PC without having to have a gaming PC. I don't know what they're offering me. basically, other than the thing that did appeal to me initially, which was the zero download times and no uploading and, you know, waiting for things to upload and not upload, download patches for and all that type of stuff that has plagued my gaming in this generation a bit on the PS4 and Xbox generally. That's something that interests me to think. But other than that, like, I can't see what they're offering good sort of package of games in return for the money, and so I'm out.
Here's why, and I was fully prepared to put my money down and follow suit with, like you guys were doing, to go and get my Google Stadia all sorted. But I think it was the second or third live stream they were doing about Google Stadia, and it was the second or third time I'd gone to watch one of their live streams, and they couldn't even keep the connection for that open. So I thought, what chance do you have of showing me some video games at a smooth, tasty frame rate?
A smooth and tasty frame rate? Like what, a bar of dairy milk or something?
Like smooth peanut butter.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, we should probably talk about the actual news, because I think this marks the 20th week in a row Tim is bashing the Stadia.
Yeah, exactly. At least you've kind of done the inverse of putting your money where your mouth is and put your money in your pocket instead, which is probably a better place for it.
It'll be one less dusty console in your living room.
Yeah.
Of which there are many.
I'm looking at the Ouya now.
The nursing home of consoles that is Tim's front room. Anyway.
Headlines.
I got vaguely amused this week.
Yes.
Go on then.
But don't worry, this is on topic.
Okay.
It just made me smile. So Sony, as unless you've been living under a rock, announced that the PlayStation 5 is coming out in holiday 2020. Now, that's pretty much all they said.
Yes.
But there were some headlines out there that were quite excited about the fact that they confirmed the name PlayStation 5.
And are you sure these aren't taken in a tongue-in-cheek type attitude?
Fairly sure.
These are all very hyper-excited people that the PlayStation 5 is called the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
It's quite astounding.
Do you remember when PlayStation 4 was going to be called Orbis?
Yes.
Just wanted to throw that out there.
So it's going to be released during the Christmas holiday season of 2020. It's probably around about November-ish next year, I would have thought.
Which is good.
Maybe October.
As revealed in the PlayStation blog post, the console is, as we've heard from other news sources, officially called PlayStation 5.
Flipping heck.
And the controller is going to have some haptic feedback and adaptive triggers.
That's crazy. Why would you put haptic feedback in a controller? What madness of the future is this?
Well, it's actually the madness of Xbox One circa 2013 is what it is, with its haptic triggers, which were massively underused in the system as a whole. And actually, I think we're only really used by Forza games.
It's not haptic triggers necessarily, is it? It's haptic feedback in the pad and adaptive triggers that you can set the resistance of.
Which is a trying to pop the balloon of the Xbox One Elite controller, I think. But the super good news is that it's going to have a higher capacity battery than the PlayStation 4. Frankly, it's not hard to have a high capacity battery than the PlayStation 4 controller.
You say that. I mean, the launch console controllers, they had problems. And I think one of the big problems was that the stupid blue light on it. You didn't have a setting to turn it down very far, which they then patched in later that you could turn it down even further. And that was draining the battery in a lot of cases. But over the different iterations, like the one I've got now is the controller that comes with the PS4 Pro. And that one works brilliantly. Like the battery, that lasts on a couple of weeks. So I'm really happy with that. Apparently the higher capacity battery does make it heavier than the PlayStation 4 controller, though.
That's okay. I mean, the PlayStation 4 controller is erring on the side of slightly light for my liking anyway.
Fair enough. I really like the PlayStation controller. I know a lot of people were... I think the Xbox 360 controller was the best one last generation. And then when the Xbox One pad came about, a lot of people were raving about it, and I just really fell in love with the PlayStation 4 controller and was starting to feel a bit crazy, because when I got an Xbox controller in my hand, I was like, this just feels clunky and stiff and I don't like it. So I don't know. I hope the design doesn't change too much with the new controller. But I do like that they're going USB-C for charging. That's quite nice. I'm sick of random micro USB cables around the house just for controllers.
Now we're going to have random USB-C cables around for everything as well. So it's going to be lovely.
Well, that's fine. We use USB-C for everything now. It's on the Switch. It's on your phone. Yeah, it's fine.
So other bits of news. Again, Wired had an interview with Mark Cerny, bless him.
Mark Cerny from Cerny.
Mark Cerny from Cerny. Mark Cerny. Who's probably trying to force feed PlayStation executives yet another Clank game. And there's going into a bit more detail in terms... Not Clank, what was it? That bloody
Knack.
Rogue. Knack.
Knack 3 coming to the PlayStation 5.
So he's going into a bit more detail about the haptic feedback. So it doesn't sound like they're using motors like all of the other current gen controllers do. It's going to be what they described as voice coil actuators. Do I have any idea what that is? No.
Does it sound cool?
Yes.
That's all that matters.
It's like the reality engine of PlayStation 5.
Ooh.
What was it the Mega Drive had? Burst processing.
Blast processing.
Blast processing. It's all that kind of nonsense. But apparently it's akin to what Nintendo have done with their now removed from the Switch Lite HD Rumble, where it's kind of like gives you a really fine-grained idea of like interactions with different materials around the world, so you could tell the difference between your character running across, say, a muddy surface and, say, a stone surface or other things such as that. It's also going to find its way into GT Sport. I'd imagine that is going to be coming over to the PS5 because that's doing gangbusters well for the PlayStation 4 at the moment.
Is it really?
And the PS4 version of GT Sport doesn't have Rumble. Not because they allegedly couldn't be bothered, and not because any other reasons. It's because it's too tiring. It's too tiring for those racing people. Yeah, too tiring for your hands.
Okay.
So that's their reason, but that is coming. And the adaptive triggers, just to kind of loop back on what we were saying earlier, it actually does look that, yes, that is... It's not like... I think both of us were wrong, Tim. I think it's not like setting the trigger point. It's actually how hard you have to push
the different levels of resistance.
Yeah. So that can be set in software. So that's quite cool. In terms of other tech specs, CPU-wise, it's going to have an 8-core, 16-thread, x86, 64-bit AMD Ryzen Zen 2 CPU. And that puts it on about kind of the middle of the ground. I think it's a Ryzen 7, the current gen of Ryzen 7. So, yes, that is not a bad processor at all. That is got some serious grunt to it.
Can I just point out, once again, Wired got the exclusive on the PlayStation 5 information, as they were the ones that they kind of unofficially announced the PS5 because PlayStation came in and showed them the dev kit and that it would be using a solid state drive and showed it with Spider-Man for all the faster loadings and stuff. And that's initially where we got that information from. Once again, it's Wired that got more detail, which just feeds into my theory that someone at Wired has photos of Mark Cerny in uncompromising positions that he does not want leaked out there.
Wow, that escalated.
Yeah.
Wasn't it more actually just the fact that they got some leaked images and went to Sony with them first and actually said, do you want to actually do a story on it rather than us just leaking this stuff?
They said, no, shut up. We're suing you. Give us those photos. That's usually how companies work, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, PS5, who's excited?
I am standing here with bated breath. I hope it's good, but I've probably fully transitioned in a non-binary gaming state to a very binary gaming state where I now play most things on PC.
I'm generally excited by a new console launch anyway. It's good to know kind of when it's coming. It's kind of exactly when we've been all predicting that it would come as well, so we were all right in that regard. That's always nice. But generally, the one thing that they haven't really spoke about yet, which I wouldn't expect them to speak about at this stage, but one thing I really want to hear details on is the levels of backwards compatibility. And we're interested in that from two points. One, I want to see how much of my game collection is going forward. They have already talked about PSVR being compatible with PS5, so like I think that we won't see another headset for a year or more, maybe. I think
I'm not necessarily sure you need another headset, because with that amount of extra processing, I mean, I haven't seen any details about the GPU, but that is going to massively increase the fidelity of the environments that you see within PSVR. So I don't think they need to upgrade the hardware.
Yeah, and I imagine there'll be a lot of upgrades to the existing software to take advantage of that.
Much like the PS4 to the Pro.
But I'm interested in that compatibility for two reasons. One, to see, you know, what of my game collection and the hardware I've got available that goes forward, but also just from the standpoint of, well, if they need to make it that, you know, they still have the light bar and all that sort of stuff so that you can play PS4 games originally, is that holding them back from making more innovations in the controllers and stuff like that than they otherwise would be, kind of thing. And it'd be just be interesting to see how they're balancing that, whether there'll be multiple pads available, whether these pads will just work on the next console. Something that they tend to shy away from doing. It sounds like it's got a different charging thing. That might be, you know, one issue there or something. I think they make quite a lot of money off selling new pads, basically. So I think that's one thing they'll be keen to possibly not make compatible going forward.
I don't want them to improve the pad too much, because if they do, then like pads already cost £65. I don't want them to go up to like £90.
Yeah.
Controllers are expensive. I think what they need is some kind of plastic ring to clip the controller to, and then we can play fitness games.
Well, Nintendo are already... Well, they've gone one step further, haven't they? With that strap a Joy-Con onto your thigh thing
I forgot about that bit.
Got going on.
I knew about the ring. I forgot about the thigh thing.
It's sexy Joy-Con time. Put a Joy-Con in your garter.
It sounds like ridiculousness in gaming and health in gaming.
Yes. Now, I do believe we have talked about this particular thing before. And, you know, I should note, somewhat apropos, we were recording this on World Mental Health Day. So this is about the whole concept of defining gaming disorder as a disease, and should it be its own unique thing that is separated out and made to stand out on its own from other types of compulsive behaviour. Now, the NHS, the National Health Service in the UK, if you're a non-UK listener, is that the NHS is now opening its first treatment clinic for what they call video game addiction.
In London.
And it's going to focus on kids and young adults. So the young adult is up to the age of 25. And it's being called the Centre for Internet and Gaming Disorder. Now, I don't entirely know how I feel about this.
Right.
The lady who is running it, Dr. Henrietta Bowden-Jones, is a very eminent psychiatrist. She's exceptionally well qualified. She's a very intelligent lady. And she has previously set up clinics dealing with gambling. And what with the overlap between, say, loot boxes or surprise sacks, as certain companies like to call them, or whatever it is, the buzzword is this week, and being viewed as a gateway to adult gambling. And there is some evidence for that, that, you know, that it is like a kind of a gateway drug, for want of a better way of putting it. You know, I'm not surprised to see someone with a clinical interest in gambling moving on to this area, but I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, I think it's only right if people need support in leading a balanced life and they are someone who may be prone to engaging with things in a to the detriment of all else manner. If people are choosing to play games rather than hold down a job, for example, or they're playing games so much that they cannot hold down a job,
yeah,
or they're not going to university or they're failing their exams, yeah, that's an issue. But is that video games causing that, or is it an underlying behavioural disorder that they need some support with?
There's kind of two thoughts of addiction when it comes to video game, and like you say, there is an overlap between gambling and video games. Now we have all these, you know, free-to-play, free-to-start type titles that have these surprise loot box mechanics and all this kind of stuff that you can lose serious money on and invest serious money to play. But then the other side of that is, you know, I've worked with guys that one day would be missing from work, and it is literally down to World of Warcraft at the time. There is two ends to that. I think the problem we have as well is I'm less hesitant to label it as a gaming disorder or a gaming addiction when it's to do with loot boxes, because that's literally thrown around just because we can't label it as gambling because it's legally not gambling in the UK. But it really should be looked into. And a lot of the addictions at the moment do seem to stem around the likes of Fortnite and Overwatch and other titles that do a lot of the loot box systems, the microtransaction systems. So I think there is a serious thing that needs to be looked at there in response to gambling. The whole idea of getting into something so bad that it takes over your life, that yes, that is a disorder. I wouldn't quite say that's again, it's a disorder to do with gaming, it's an addiction. There are usually other symptoms leading to that as a treatment, whether that's I don't want to go outside, well, I'm agoraphobic, depression, or just so many different kind of things that can lead to that. And I think there's other symptoms that should be addressed before you play too many video games.
I mean, don't get me wrong, video games for some people are a very real escape from the challenges they face in day-to-day life. And in sometimes, games can actually be a bit therapeutic, especially with people with disorders in the autistic spectrum, for example. That can actually in a safe environment that they feel comfortable in and have some control over, kind of slowly help them develop some softer skills that they might not otherwise feel empowered enough to explore in the real world themselves. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with playing loads of video games. You know, I'm not going to say that, because I think anything taken to an extreme is harmful or is not part of a balanced life. I think my issue is that it's kind of indirectly saying video games are the cause, rather than video games being an outlet for unbalanced compulsive behavior that is obviously and readily identifiable by those people around that person.
But I don't think, and stand to, you know, be corrected by your definitely superior medical knowledge, but just in general, I don't think you can categorically say that there is no one that has ever played an addictive video game. Like, video games are designed to be addictive in their nature, and like a lot of the, you know, the noises and everything that gives you feedback have come from gambling mechanics, and the same behavioral studies into people, and, you know, like, and that, the feedback loop of what gives you pleasure, basically, kind of thing.
Well, there's a very good reason why many large game companies employ psychologists, is to tickle that lizard brain of yours and, you know, give you a happy feeling when you do something cool in a game. You know, it's one thing going, oh yeah, that's cool, another thing it becoming a compulsion that you can't control. And it's a bit of a chicken and the egg situation here. I think for people who are susceptible to very compulsive behaviours, throwing
Hello.
Their absolute lot in on something to the exclusion of all else, that yes, I can see why games may be a very attractive thing that they latch onto and express that tendency through.
So you're saying 10 years or so doing podcasting would be signs of being a bit too...
The last time I checked, all three of us hold down jobs.
Yeah, I know.
Hello.
And I mean, I'm only addicted to one video game, and that's Destiny 2.
Yeah.
No, but in all seriousness, I mean, I do think I'm not arguing that people in whom are engaging with games to a compulsive degree that is not doing them any favours in the long run, and perhaps not doing those around them any favours. I'm not saying that isn't a problem, that person shouldn't get help with. What I don't know how I feel about yet is whether or not the implication of calling it gaming disorder, and that is essentially pointing the finger at video games are the cause of this.
And I get your point there, but slightly playing devil's advocate and just slightly bringing it exactly to this topic rather than the overall topic. Having a clinic that treats people that are possibly spending too much time playing video games, and that may be a cause of it, whether the video game is responsible or not, it's possibly a good idea to have someone that regularly analyzes the same problem that possibly will have a similar diagnosis or a similar way of tackling and dealing with the root cause of the problem or whatever it is, basically. No?
At the risk of this part lasting for the entire show.
Yes.
I get it. The term of a gaming disorder, it is essentially a buzzword. It allows you to get published in all the newspapers and trend on Twitter, probably at some outrage, which, you know, just gets your cause up as well. The idea of making a clinic that specializes in gaming disorder will also be that thing. What I'm hoping is, beyond the buzzwords, this is a thing where you're not going in to treat gaming disorder. You are going in to treat, recommend if need be, the underlying problems that are causing this.
I mean, I view it as it's a symptom of an underlying problem.
Exactly. You know, people that gamble, people that drink or do drugs, that is self-medication, essentially. You're usually doing that to avoid something else. You're covering over something else. In a lot of cases, not every case.
No.
You might just really like booze, but without any prior medical knowledge or qualifications or anything, just at my own history and stuff, I would assume that it's being used as a form of self-medicating in this form of escapism.
But I think my only concern is by putting a label on it, like some kind of healthcare Beyonce.
In a world where we have actual politicians looking to lay blame on shootings and violence on video games and movies and stuff, which is an argument that has gone for so long now, but if
violence has existed since the dawn of time, people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not one that, I'm not a supporter of that. And when you've got the president of the United States having his people put together a package of really old games to show them just how violent they are and how school shootings are beginning because of video games, I worry that putting a label as gaming disorder legitimizes that.
Well, not only legitimizes, but also vilifies people who enjoy playing games as a pastime.
That too.
And I actually think that's the thing that slightly makes me uncomfortable.
That said, you do play way too much Destiny.
Right, there was a guy who I was playing with last week, AJ, who's on the Discord. I worked out that since Destiny 2 had been released, or Shadowkeep had been released, he had played 74% of all the available hours since its release playing it.
I thought you meant all the available hours in his life.
Well, you know, it's going to approach that point at some point, should he continue this behaviour for long enough. And I have to say, I'm a fan of Destiny to an arguably unhealthy degree, but I was like, dude, seriously, that is, are you okay?
If you're spending 74% of all available game time in that specific game, you must be the best player in the world or stop.
He is pretty good, actually, to be fair. He is pretty good at the game.
No, the best player in the world.
Bestest player.
This would be a good point to once again give some shilling out to our Discord channel. And if you want to go and maybe have a little chat about gaming disorder or the PlayStation 5, then we've got a nice little room for BRB UK people.
Yes, we do. And we're investigating ways to make that even more exciting for you.
Hopefully.
I don't want to say what we're trying to do in case we can't do it.
All the Destiny bots will now be pointed at the BRB UK room.
Mm-hmm. Well, Coleman, that is the news.
Yes.
As usually happens approximately 30-something minutes into an episode, I've gone all pointy and my pointy points need interesting.
Yep.
Interest my points!
I am ready to do some points of interest. I missed this last week. So points of interest, Red Dead Redemption. We predicted this probably 2-3 weeks ago when they launched that their Rockstar launcher on the PC.
We also predicted the PlayStation 5 was going to be called the PlayStation 5 quite some time ago.
I believe Tim said he predicted the release date like 3 years ago or something.
Loads of people, if you remember, were saying it would be 2019 a couple of years ago, and I maintained that it wouldn't be 2019. I believed it would be 2020. So I've been saying that for quite some time.
Yeah. Well, you predicted the launch window, so there you go.
Yes.
Points of interest. Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming to the PC, and a lot sooner than you think. It's going to be on the 5th of November to the Rockstar launcher. There are currently a bunch of different pre-order goodies at the moment. I think they're upgrading pre-orders from the regular Red Dead Redemption 2 to the Special or Ultimate Editions. I'm not sure what the caveats to those are. And also, they're giving away two of something like 8 titles out of the Rockstar back catalogue, which do include Max Payne 3, which I would, yeah, go get that. That's a really good game. That runs from now till the 22nd of October for pre-orders. But then, interestingly, it's going to launch on Google Stadia, because all old games are launching on Google Stadia. And then also the game is coming to Steam on some point in December.
Mm.
So if you're not happy with another launcher and you prefer Steam, then you can wait. You'll just miss out on some goodies if you're not pre-ordering, and you'll have to wait if you want it on Steam.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I mean, I am actually live installing this now, so I can say something about it.
Also, this getting released on PC means that's really ballsed up my birthday present plans for Dan, so there we go.
Hey, buddy!
And also ballsing up other backup plans for Dan, Doom Eternal, that has now been delayed from its November release date to March next year.
Yeah, we reported on Doom Eternal a while ago, and I played it, and that was one I was really looking forward to this year, so that is a shame. Also, I don't like games being shifted back into March, because that generally speaks for we need to get it out in this financial year.
Yep.
That must have been a big decision for them as well, because, I mean, obviously it was November, so we knew it was going to be late this year, so there wasn't much room to slip into.
Your mastery of the calendar knows no bounds, Hibbs.
Mr. November.
It was the 25th anniversary year of Doom, and they've been doing quite a few releases of old Dooms and stuff to kind of celebrate that. And obviously now this is going to miss that year. So it's going to hit the financial year, but not the calendar year that they probably wanted it to. So that's a bit of a shame. But yeah, still a game I'm really looking forward to, and I'd rather it was delayed than release broken.
March 20th, 2020.
look forward to Doom Eternal. Another game that's been delayed, but not by much. Earthfall Alien Horde. That's getting a slightly smaller delay from October the 11th to October 29th.
That's not a delay. That's just getting slightly lost.
The way the PR company sent an email out to us said along the lines of Earthfall Alien Horde gets a new release date. That's a delay. You just didn't call it a delay.
Thanks, but to be fair, I hadn't really heard much about this game until the delay. I'd heard the name, but didn't really know what it was. But it looks interesting. It's a Switch-based game, and maybe not for us guys, but I just thought our audience might be interested in it a bit more than us, possibly. But it's a Switch-based game that it looks like a kind of Left 4 Dead take, but with aliens rather than zombies. Could be interesting. The video looked interesting. So
is everyone sick of zombies now?
Yeah. Zombies are last gen. It's all aliens this gen.
Although saying that, there is a Walking Dead VR game in development that looks really good.
Really good, right. Doesn't it? Yeah.
Guys, hold on to your hats. I think I've just had an idea.
What?
Right, okay. Are you ready for this?
No.
Zombie aliens.
Yes.
Oh, my word. Didn't they already do that in Destiny?
Yeah.
Didn't they zombie everyone up a bit, kind of?
No.
How about this? Because I'm pretty sure that EA or Activision are going to latch onto this one. Are you ready? Zombie Nazi aliens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
If that's not some kind of Swedish B-movie already, I'd be surprised.
That everyone would like shooting them, surely.
Speaking of VR games, such as the new Walking Dead game that they're working on that looks really, really good, Iron Man VR, which is a game that Tim is quite excited about, for February 2020. They announced that at the New York Comic Con.
Yeah, shame it wasn't this year, but okay. Yeah, it looks really good. I'm looking forward to it. So,
we've got
yeah.
enough games this year. February 28th, if you're interested. I think that's got a £25 price point.
Sounds about
25-30, something like that.
It's I imagine it'll be in the £25 to £35 range, but we'll see.
I'm getting more interested about this the more I hear about it, because people that the initial trailer they showed looked like an on-rail shooter. The more hands-on impressions say this is actually a really competent Iron Man simulator, and it is really fun but hard.
And that all sounds good to me.
In other news, Iron Man does have a hard butt as well.
He does.
Mm-hmm. All right, the Rockstar launch is already annoying me.
Let's not talk about the Rockstar launcher then. Let's talk about the PlayStation 4, because we're not up to the 5 yet.
All right.
7.0, the firmware update. That is, if you've not got it now, that is coming at some point this week for you.
Ooh.
Along with a bunch of different improvements. That brings the number of party users from 8 to 16 in chat.
That's no longer a party. I would say 16 people promotes it to a full-on shindig.
Shindiggery.
Yes, yeah, shindiggery. That's what it is. 16 people is a shindig, 8 is a party. 32 is a happening. Stretch goal for you, Sony. PlayStation 5, I expect to see happening magnitude online parties.
You done?
Possibly. I don't know. Something else might occur to me in that. Carry on.
Right. If you're in the US, you get a new chat transcription feature. And, well, everywhere, you get a new remote play feature for smartphones on Android running Android 5.0 or higher. Which, that excites me, because I do like using the remote play feature. I've been doing it on a little lappy that doesn't have much power to it. I would like this to work on new shiny phone that's in the post.
Which new shiny phone have you got incoming?
S Plus.
Very nice.
Also, I've got random off topic. To prep for the Project X Cloud, I have a little clasp that attaches your phone to the Xbox controller, which costs like £2, I think, when I found it. And they're really, really good. And also, you can use them as phone stands if you're watching something on your phone around the house. So I'm going to go buy one of those for PlayStation controller now, because that's a really handy thing to have.
Lots of mercy.
Yeah, they're really good. Okay. I'll let you know if the PlayStation ones are any good, and probably put a link in Discord or something. And that is points of interest up until a point where Dan wants to talk about something that I didn't read about, so I didn't put it in the agenda. Sorry.
Right. Dan. Now, this is a bit of a developing story, but Blizzard have done something a bit controversial. So there's a professional Hearthstone player called Ngwai, Blitzchung Chung.
Yeah, I know him very well.
This guy he'd won a Hearthstone Grandmasters match, and he was interviewed on the official Taiwanese Hearthstone stream, and he wore a face mask, which is a reference to the anti-mask law currently in force in China as of its crackdown on the protests in Hong Kong. And Chung shouted, "Liberate Hong Kong, revolution of our age." The stream then quickly cut to commercial, and all of the on-demand footage of that has been pulled from the internet. As a result of that, 2 days after this interview, Blizzard announced that Chung has violated the 2019 Grandmasters official competition rules of Hearthstone. He's been removed from all Grandmasters competitions, was given a 12-month ban, and has also rescinded his $10,000 prize money that he was set to receive.
Oosh.
So, Blizzard have said, while we stand by one's right to express individual thoughts and opinions, players and other participants that elect to participate in our esports competition must abide by our rules. Now, there's been a lot of backlash about this.
Okay.
And, you know, bless them, Epic have taken it upon themselves to go, hey, look, we'd never do that. Look at us, we're great. Epic Store, download it. And I'm sure EA's going, hey, look, we're not the bad guys for a change. This is awesome. Loving it.
I think EA put them forward for a worst company in the world.
Yeah. I mean, this is really quite, I think, overstepping the bounds. You know, Blizzard have got no real justification to essentially ban this guy from his living in terms of Hearthstone championships. They've got, you know, he won the money fair and square. It's not like he cheated. He has just expressed a view which is being expressed around the world. Admittedly, that point of view is being suppressed in some parts of the world, but it's still a perfectly valid opinion to have. And, you know, this is, I view it as Blizzard sticking middle finger up at free speech.
I don't think it's necessarily right for them to have done this, and we can get into that. But I also just think, if they hadn't have been as heavy-handed with it, it wouldn't be getting anywhere near as much publicity as it is now. Like, it's definitely backfired in that sense, in so much as, like, it was a stupid way to handle it because it has blown up like this, and it's got much bigger than it was with just him making the statement. As I said, we can get into the argument of the free speech side of things, but you can divorce it from that and just say, look, it's not a good business decision to have done this. There's a lot of talk about how, you know, is Tencent, who owns a portion of the company, who owns a portion of quite a lot of other large American companies and a lot of other, those being video game companies, and have they exerted some pressure on Blizzard to do this? I don't necessarily know that's the case, but it's possibly, you know, you can't not think it's going to be something that's in the back of their mind when they know that, you know, someone that owns the percentage of the company is not going to be happy with that message.
Or, to be slightly more cynical, perhaps Blizzard view, well, as they almost certainly do, China as an emerging market for their product, and
I mean,
that they
yeah,
don't want
there
to
is that as well, yeah.
talk, have themselves talked out of that market. But it's all about, you know, kind of, I mean, it's gathered a bit more momentum in the States, surprise, surprise, because Blizzard is an American company. And, you know, it's kind of this whole worry about how and why should the geopolitical situation in China affect the actions of an American company.
Well, the simple fact is finance, basically.
Yeah. Well, it's money at the end of the day. But you know, I mean, I think you're right, Tim. It was handled in a particularly heavy-handed way by Blizzard. And, you know, if this is something they wanted to distance themselves from, which is their right also, you know, they could have done it in much... And they could have actually discussed it directly with the guy before doing anything.
Unless he's got form for this, if they just gave him warning, this would have got nowhere near the publicity and be nowhere near the problem it is, basically. You know what I mean? Like, as I said, I don't know if there is history with that being the case, and this wasn't the first example, possibly, but I don't know.
I mean, exactly. Well, quite why they felt to go for the sanctuary, it perhaps could have been just issuing a statement that Blizzard Entertainment, blah, 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 this is the stated opinion of this individual, and whilst he has won competitions in Blizzard products, that does not necessarily mean that he's expressing the thoughts and opinions of Blizzard Interactive Entertainment or something like that.
Also, I think it would have seemed less authoritarian and less heavy-handed if they just said, okay, sorry, look, we're going to disassociate ourselves from you in the future, rather than retroactively taking money that they'd already given him, by the sounds of things, or was promised to him. I don't know if he'd actually received that money or
yeah, no, it's yeah. promised to him. So it's like he was waiting for the check to show up, basically, I think is how I would say it.
That seems a bit more, as I said, authoritarian and heavy-handed, and like you're coming down on him heavily, rather than, you know, as I said, like if you just disassociate in the future, you're still pleasing the people that have done it and not making it seem, as I said, quite so heavy-handed, basically.
Is this the kind of first big example we've got of, it's, I hate the term, but woke business, where they're shown to fall out of the new age morals because of money?
I think we're going to see a lot more of this going forward in the world. I think we're going to see a lot more of it.
Right, I don't... The thing is, again, slightly playing devil's advocate, but it's not definite proof that this is... This went down in this way because they are owned or partly owned by a Chinese company.
No, actually not. They just so happen to have substantial Chinese investment in their company.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where, okay, if this is the position then, and this is the case, then it just... It raises suspicions that wouldn't be there without that being the case.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, like, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely... Well, I'm sure it was a decision made at the board of directors level in Blizzard. And, you know, I've got no idea what was said in that meeting, so...
We don't... Right, but again, we don't know that for a fact. It could have been one rogue individual that was in... Not, I don't say rogue individual, but it could be one person that just came down very heavy-handedly to deal with the situation because they thought that would be what would please their bosses, not necessarily what their bosses had directly told them to do in this situation. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know... Yeah, we don't know exactly. Yeah, it says, so you can't necessarily go, well, it's definitely the board of directors' problem, kind of thing. I mean, like,
well, I mean, what I do know, however, is that this, I don't think this is cool. I think this is a worrying turn of events. That if you are a professional esports player and you are particularly good at a particular game from a particular company, that you've got to watch what you say, otherwise your livelihood could be potentially threatened.
And I hate to say it, but they have all signed, and I'm not necessarily saying it's right that that's the case, but they all probably have signed contracts to say that they won't make these sorts of statements, kind of, yeah.
But all contracts, certainly in, I think, in the vast majority of...
Shouldn't be limiting free speech, basically, yeah.
No, they shouldn't be, because that is an inalienable human right.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But...
And no bit of paper you sign can take that right away from you.
What right?
Shut up.
Go on.
We ought to very briefly talk about what we've done played.
Mine's pretty quick.
Do yours then.
I'm playing Dragon Quest for the first time in my life.
That doesn't sound quick.
Okay, the game of Dragon Quest isn't yes. quick, but the version I'm playing... Well, I can only really quickly talk about it because I'm not majorly far into it.
Okay.
Probably about 5-6 hours. So Dragon Quest 1, 2, and 3 got surprise launched on the Nintendo Switch. And, you know, I thought, what the hell? I've never played Dragon Quest before. I have a copy of Dragon Quest. I've got a Famicom copy just sort of knocking around from when I used to pick up games on the cheap. And... The three versions of Dragon Quest that are released on the Switch are all the mobile ports, which I've seen some angst about because they're not all, you know, they're like, oh, Dragon Quest remastered. And they're like, oh, it's not all the beautiful original pixel art and it's not the shiny new style of most of the remasters of Dragon Quest and stuff, but it is the first time they're available in the UK. So, all right, let's go for this. So I've been playing this game and the way it's set up is everything's kind of pixel art, except for the characters, which are kind of like an animated cartoon drawn style. And it's very jarring to look at. But it looks like a mobile phone game. There's not a big problem there, but it's a bit weird on the Switch. So I've been playing this for a while and I thought, you know what? I've got that cartridge. I've got a Retron. Let's have a look at the original Dragon Quest and see how this stacks. Oh my God, it's so ugly.
Really?
Like, I can't understand. I don't have a translation pack. With the Retron, you can put in an SD card with a translation pack and play games in English, but I don't have a translation pack for Dragon Quest. But I just thought, oh, let's have a look just to compare what this beautiful graphical style is. Oh, it's hideous. Oh, it's and I love me some pixel art. This is not that pixel art. This looks like when people would take a point-and-click adventure and port it to the Nintendo, and it would just be so downtrodden and bad-looking. Anyway, the game's serviceable. It's $3.99. If you've never played Dragon Quest, you fancy a very long RPG, a very repetitive RPG as well. I mean, the whole point of this game is you're a hero that is serving a king whose daughter, the princess of the kingdom, has been kidnapped, and you have to go on a quest to save her.
Oh, no! That's never happened in any kingdoms before. What a unique pickle they find themselves in.
Yeah, well, it came out in the 80s. And I believe that Dragon Quest 1, 2, and 3 are pretty much the same premise. You're a hero, you're in the kingdom, you go out into the world, you fight monsters, you power up, you get more gold, you buy more equipment, you gain experience points from killing enemies, you get more powerful. Sort of your basic JRPG
type affair. Yeah.
And I believe that's the same thing in all three games. But if you are interested in Dragon Quest, I think it was £3.99, which I've got a bunch of gold saved up, so no.
Sorry, it wasn't $3.99.
No, it was nothing. I was happy with that. And I'm actually, you know, I like games like this. I probably should have bought this on the phone when this was out on the phone, but I like games like this for
commute
to break
stuff.
Up the monotony of travel, you know?
Yeah.
And this one's a very good one for that, because I'm not getting into the story of the game so much as I'm just out in the world grinding and getting more gold and getting my stats up.
Yeah, and you can just go between bits of combat and jump in and out when you need to.
But yeah, for £4, it's a recommend.
Fair enough.
Tim?
Yes?
When we last spoke to you about Astral Chain for the second time, I believe you've beaten it. So you're ready for something new now?
No. I was right near the end, and I've now just going to say I've finished Astral Chain. I've done a bit of the end game content afterwards as well, basically. But yeah, like I still really enjoyed that all the way to the end, and will probably still play the end game content for a bit as well. Right? So yeah. I enjoyed it. It was good. And just very quickly this week as well, I've played the first little bit of Concrete Genie, which I want to talk about because that game is something special, I think.
Is it rock hard?
No. Well, no.
Rock Concrete is slightly...
But
I'm glad Coleman got it eventually.
It was good.
Thank you.
I did not get it. Anyway, right,
here a week. Tip your waiters.
I got it. I just liked Tim's reaction. That was all.
For anyone that doesn't know, this game came out on PS4 recently. It's been out by a couple of days by the time you hear this episode, basically. But for me, it came out last night, and I got to play the opening part of it a little bit. Yeah, like, it's a game kind of centered around...
Oh, thank God.
Neon living graffiti. Basically,
my favorite kind of graffiti.
The basic premise is there's an abandoned town. It was kind of dwindling economically, and then there was a big oil spill, and then everyone's kind of left town.
Damn you, BP.
It's generally been sort of now just has a kind of roaming group of delinquents kind of roaming around town, and you kind of go back there because you still feel an affinity to your childhood and you've got some like happy childhood memories there, but you kind of get picked on by the delinquents. They're kind of bullying you, and they rip up your art book where you've been sketching a load of things, and scatter the pages scatter throughout town, and then they kind of throw you on this cable car thing, and you end up locked up in this lighthouse where it's rumored there's a ghost, basically. And without spoiling too much of the rest of the kind of opening story bits there, you basically, and it's something you've seen in trailers, you get kind of access to this, for want of a better word, magic paintbrush kind of thing that brings this kind of artwork to life on the walls around town. And you're kind of tasked with dealing with this kind of invasion of this stuff that you don't really understand at the moment. This kind of purple stuff that covers some of the walls and other stuff.
I prefer Sunny D.
And you do that by kind of initially like painting backgrounds, but you also get these genies, and they're the kind of concrete genies of the title of the game. But you are painting them and then bringing them to life. So literally the brush strokes that you go like will shape how that creature looks and how you like, you know, and it kind of you're doing the kind of body and adding horns and stuff to it basically at the moment, and then it kind of sprouts arms and legs when it comes to life basically, and those concrete genies are kind of stuck to the wall and the surface that they're on, but they can kind of move around surfaces as long as none of this purple gook is kind of disrupting their path. And
okay.
to get past that purple stuff, you have to get what it calls super paint. But you do that by making the concrete genies happy, and you generally make them happy by leading them to places where you can paint a scene and painting the things that they'd like to see in that scene.
I have a question.
Yes.
How different are concrete genies from sugar daddies?
Very.
Wait, can I just get that right? If you make the genies happy, they will reward you with super paint.
Yes.
Good. All right.
Right.
Just putting that
lovely
out there. No insinuation whatsoever.
And how does this super paint manifest? Does it squirt at you, or is it is it prepackaged?
Do you have to suck it out of a hose blindfolded?
It's nice. Moving that to one side, there is some...
Or is there a spigot that comes out through a hole in the wall?
It's really nice to have a game that has, like, R2 is your interaction with your paintbrush, basically, kind of thing. It's kind of then motion-controlled, but to get your paintbrush out, you're pressing R2. And it's nice to have that button not shoot something in the face as its primary purpose for a change, kind of thing. But... yeah, it's a really nice, like, the story of the game is you're painting the town back to life, kind of thing, and bringing life back to the town and dealing with this invasion of this other stuff, and using the concrete genies and their powers to, like, open up other paths and go other places while avoiding these bullies. And I was a bit worried that was going to be an overly, like, stealth mechanic thing, but so far, at least, it's been a case of... reasonably easy to avoid them and easy to, like, reposition them. You can, like, shout and then bring their attention and then jump off roofs to kind of get round them, and that tends to be enough to confuse them and stuff. But it's a kind of almost it's not quite Tim Burton. There's a kind of cartoon artistic style that I'm trying to like compare it to that I can't quite put my finger on at the moment.
Animaniacs.
It's a kind of... No, Tim, like, Burton-esque is kind of almost the kind of feel, yeah, but it's almost...
I mean, it is vaguely Burton-esque, to be fair.
Yeah, but there's something, and then there's the kind of more, slightly more paranormal, there's something, there's an animation or a series of kind of animation things that is a bit more like it, and I can't quite think of the descriptive thing. But it's like playing through an animated thing. It's very well... To overly use a word, but it's very well animated in terms of the actual animation of the characters and the world as well, basically. But
very, very good, Tim.
But yeah, like,
the animation is animated. Love
it. It's very vibrant. It, like, the concrete genies and all that type of stuff. It feels like a creative game, even though it's a kind of action adventure-y sort of game as well, kind of thing. But yeah, like, I really like the setup of what they've done so far. I really like the way the mechanics work and stuff like that. I might turn the motion control stuff off because I hear you can do that as well. But also, there is a VR component where you can use both of the Move controllers and the VR headset. I believe that's just for, like, viewing...
Just for painting.
Painting and stuff like that. So yeah. One of the things about that is I wanted to get stuck into the main game and see what that was like. And also, I'm guessing the more stuff I open up, the more I might have access to in that as well. So I'd rather do that a little bit further down the line, so I'll kind of report back on that next week. But yeah, like, the opening start to the game, as I said, it really feels like something a little bit special and something a little bit different. It's like $24.99 as well, which seems like a reasonable price. I don't know how long it is overall, but, like, literally, like I said, I played the first hour and a half. I've played an hour and a half of the game. I don't think I've necessarily played an hour and a half of the actual story of the game necessarily. It's kind of got to the point where I've opened up into, like, how it looks like the rest of the game is going to structure. I think it was a good point. But I also spent a lot of time just going, okay, I'm going to paint this wall as well. It doesn't tell me to, but I'm going to paint this. Oh, and I can go over there, and if I paint this, that happens. Oh, and if I get the genie to come over here and do that, he'll tell me what to paint there. And, like, yeah, like, it's just... It feels like a really nice world to explore as well, kind of thing. But yeah, from my initial impressions, it really does seem like something not to miss out on, basically.
I fully intend to play this, but I'm so busy at the moment that kind of all my games are relegated to Switch playing. But I don't know what it is, but something about this game really, really reminds me of Papa and Yo. And I don't know what that is, but I really want to get my hands on this game. So I'll have to shelf that for a little while, but I will get to this.
Yeah, it was something I had high expectations for, and it has possibly exceeded those expectations already, basically. So, yeah,
ooh,
I'm quite pleased with it so far. Yeah.
Wowza. And that's only on PS4 at the moment, right?
I believe it's a PS4 exclusive. I don't know that for a fact, but I imagine with the VR thing and the motion control thing, it might be difficult to do elsewhere a little bit. I don't know.
The world's second most powerful console. Exclusive.
World's most powerful console, last Thursday.
Exclusive.
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 Exclusive. Exclusive.
It's like we're the Game Awards.
Oh, I know, right? It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's probably our lot, isn't it, for this week?
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
In terms of talking about games. But it's not just us talking about games that we like to do. And we're also going to give away some energy.
Energy.
How does that work, Timothy?
Well, we've got some cans of Rockstar Energy. I'm currently drinking the blueberry, pomegranate, and aqua one. So there you go. But we are giving away some of the codes that are currently on the cans, which you can obviously purchase from the shops if you like the sound of that and don't win one of the codes that we're giving away this week. But we've got three codes to give away, which I'll read out for you now. So the first code is 6HVFKK4VCXR7. And the second code is 9HKPKJVP3R2C. And the third and final code for this week is JLPL3P74NH4C. I don't know why I said 74 rather than 7 and 4, but you know, you get the idea.
It works. Mm-hmm. I think I need to start adding in, you know, the old 90s lottery music where it goes da da da.
Yeah.
Number 4. Da da da. Number 6. Da da da. 49.
But yeah, big thanks to Rockstar for that. Don't forget, we've got another 3. And yeah, I think we've adjusted this down slightly because we had a different amount of cans than we thought. But we are giving away 3 codes each week for the rest of October. And we'll give away some more codes and some cans at the end of the month as well.
Splendid.
Yeah, thanks, Rockstar Energy. And thank you. Gears 5, because you're a really good game and I enjoy you.
Coming up around the corner, if that fills you full of energy and you're all now very excited, we're going to give you something to be actually put that excited energy into, because EGX 2019 is just around the corner.
I'm excited.
17th to the 20th of October 2019 in the Excel Centre in London.
London!
There's a whole bunch of newly announced playable games, including Monagerie, Shadowplay Metropolis Flow, Wamba Warriors, Regression, Adventure in Alien.
Not that kind of alien.
Presumably not a light-hearted tale about shoving colonoscopes up the bums of aliens. Get me snacks.
Get some revenge for once, eh?
Yes. Not Tonight. Take Back Control. Sequel to the thrilling sequel to Not Tonight. I've got a headache. Yes, Your Grace. Is that Yes? And then Your Grace or yep. Yes, Your Grace?
Yes, Your Grace.
Your Grace.
Yes.
Oh, I did see a thing about that. That looked interesting.
Maybe that's
anyway.
Not Tonight. Yes, Your Grace.
No. They are separate, because Yes, Your Grace, I saw a thing about it. It's about serving. So
but
anyway,
Descenders
we'll
seem somewhat apropos. Yeah. Ultra Age, Bookbound Brigade, Deliver Us the Moon, Close to the Sun, ooh, Gravity Chase, Put 'Em Up, and Snow.
Yeah. I didn't put down when these games are showing like I had previously, because they just announced so many flipping games this week.
Hey, and do you want to hear something super duper cool?
Yeah.
On Sunday, the 20th of October, at 11:30 in the morning, a plastic blanker will be bringing you along his pet Japanese person.
He's always got that flipping blanker with him.
I know he has, bless him. Yoshinori Ono, him of Street Fighter fame, will be doing an interview at 11:30 on the 20th in the UGX Theatre.
What position is he interviewing for? Because I thought he had a pretty decent job over at Capcom.
He's interviewing for toilet hygiene technician.
Because EGX is Eurogamer. Is he becoming part of Euro? Is he a photographer for Eurogamer now? Is he going to be doing their review games?
He might be.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Fun story. My LinkedIn profile picture has been a picture of him dragon punching me in the face for as long as I've had a LinkedIn profile picture. But
we know.
That was more for the listeners than for you, Colin, but you know.
I'm sorry. But also, so friends of the show, The Loading Bar, they're going to be at EGX. First of all, they're going to be showing off their new IPA.
Huzzah!
I like IPA, so I'm going to go try some of that. And also, they're going to have a selection of board games for you to go and try out, including Reigns and many more. But speaking...
As you are indeed, yes, you are speaking, I can confirm.
I did. I did speak of Loading Bar. Speaking of Loading Bar, Dan. Dan.
Yes.
Do you think, Dan?
Do my thing.
Do you think we quiz do two on Tuesdays?
Okay, right. An off neglected day of the week by Jeff Bridges, but also a musician whose name completely escapes me at the moment. Oh my God, this is really embarrassing. I'm having a senior moment. I wanted to say David Cage, but it's not David Cage.
Why David Cage?
Craig David. There we go.
Craig David.
Right, a day often neglected by Craig David, and that day is Tabletop Tuesdays.
Wait, Craig David Cage.
Craig David Cage.
You managed to just make yourself sound outdated with an outdated reference, Dan. That was somewhat...
That's right. Hey, look, I'm a child of the 90s, mate. It's all good.
I was taking some QTEs and jamming them in my game.
David playing the ball game.
Ellen Page said, no, don't render my genitals.
Chris X to Jason.
So you were saying about Tabletop Tuesday, were you?
Yeah.
Good
intro, Dan. Nice and snappy.
That's all right. Love it. It's all right. I've been bleeding out my face this episode. I've lost blood supply to my brain. Do your
Explain
thing, Timothy.
Explain all the other weeks then, Dan, eh?
What?
Never mind. Right.
What?
For anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday, we do an event in the Loading Bar in Dalston named Tabletop Tuesday. And each and every Tuesday, we have a different board or card game. Well, usually a board or a card game. It wasn't necessarily the case the last couple of weeks. Anyway, but usually we have a different board or card game, and if you play that game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening. This week's game is a little game called Itchy Monkey, and while it does feature monkeys...
What did you call me?
Well, why have they made a game about my poor hygiene years? I don't like this.
While it does feature monkeys and some quite amusing drawings of monkeys in some cases...
If this is about rolling me through a sheep dip, I'm going to be upset.
No. It's a game about lice. You are playing the place of gone. Lice, trying to infect as many monkeys as possible with as much lice as possible so you can become the most dominant lice in the jungle.
That's not very nice.
It's a really silly premise. It's a quite silly game, but it's actually quite really tactical common. As well. The actual stuff that you need to do in the game gets quite head scratching. So you liked what I did there, really. Anyway, but for anyone who doesn't know, if you come along and play the feature game, you get a chance to win a copy of the game in a free prize draw at the end of the evening. If you want more details, you can go to the top left hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, where there'll be more details, and you can also go along to meetup.com and search for Tabletop Tuesday and join the over 1,800 members that we have there.
Okay.
That's a big number.
That is Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston, London for Itchy Monkey on the 15th of October. Be there or stay at home and maybe itch your own monkey. Exclusive.
What? Also,
exclusive.
Just, the world's most powerful gaming bar.
Just show us your monkey. Wait, what?
Also, just squeezing in the area between Tabletop Tuesday and shout-outs, just a shout-out to... Big Potato Games. I went along to their offices yesterday evening and joined them for their stream. So if you want to see me and them playing some silly games for an hour or so, then you can. They've got it all over their social media stuff at the moment. So go check out Big Potato Games. Or I've also retweeted it and stuff as well, so you can see that on my Twitter. I playing some games with them. It was a fun evening. I kind of, teamed up with chat at one point as well to take on the other two that we were playing against. But it was good fun. So thank you very much for having us along. And hopefully might be doing some more nonsense with them in the future. But always fun to hang out with Big Potato Games.
And I believe you uncovered some cruelty against potatoes.
Again, a funny picture on my...
BRB Tim on Twitter.
On my Twitter.
Mm-hmm. we've had a couple of folks chatting to us on the old Discord and on Twitter. Yeah. So I put on the announcement about PlayStation. Well, Dan put up the PlayStation 5 announcement, and we thought we'd get some thoughts on that before the show. Velvet Funder said he'd be extremely excited about August, September 2020, but for now, it's just a thing we knew was coming is definitely coming.
Mm-hmm.
Fair point.
Good. Like Christmas.
Yeah. Spiky Chris wanted to know the price point. He said price point will be key, and he wonders if Microsoft will be stupid enough to announce their price point first again.
Good old Spiky Chris.
I think this is the first time that the price point might not affect my decision, because the only reason I was a full 360 head, and the only reason I went for the 360 was because of the price compared to the PS3.
The PS3 was ridiculously priced, to be honest.
It was in the original launch as well. When it came to the PS4, I was only just dabbling in PlayStation 3 and Vita and stuff because it was cheaper than at launch, and I went for the PS4 just purely on the price. And this time, I don't, because of, we'd have to see how the backwards compatibility stuff works out, but I am swayed more to the PlayStation 4 because I think I have more to carry over in this way, and some of the exclusives that will launch on PS4, but I think will be across, if it all pans out, it looks like I'm leaning more PlayStation side anyway.
Mine's quite simple. PSVR isn't going to work on Xbox.
I did want to quickly mention while we're talking about PlayStation as well. You guys were talking about PlayStation Now last week, and you made a lot of mention of how the whole latency with the streaming of video games.
Are you going to mention that we done did a stupid?
You may have forgotten that you can actually, and you have been able to for a while, you can actually download games on the PlayStation Now. Now,
mea culpa.
Yeah.
At one point, I think we actually announced it on this show.
So. Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm getting old. Yeah. I can't remember these things. If it's not on an agenda, I don't know it exists. Mm.
But I'm really excited by that news last week that they've, because if they do more to that platform, then if they nick Game Pass and make it PlayStation Game Pass, I am well up for that.
Yeah.
Play Pass, if you will.
And with the price reduction last week, where they basically halved the prices of all the monthly costs.
We did say it needed brilliant. That, though, no? I still think
it did. Oh, it definitely needed that.
I still think it'd be better as an all-in-one thing. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, we're having a chat about that as well. Anyway, come to the Discord. Or you can chat to us on Twitter at Big Red Barrel, like Ian Alexander Crane did, where he sent us a few different things. But one thing I did include in our agenda, I just wanted to show you. He's been out and bought two versions of Lynx, a shower gel and an aerosol, a deodorant. If you don't know what Lynx is, because if you're in the US, it's called Axe in the US, Axe body spray. In Australia, I believe this is an Australian exclusive as well, because it's bigger over there, but Xbox flavored scented.
Flavored?
Yeah.
Flavored is definitely the wrong word.
How did they do the taste test for that?
Delicious. Go lick your Xbox and you can find out. Don't lick your Xbox. Yeah, it. Go on.
You can. I'll make sure it's unplugged. Probably unplug it.
It'll be fine. I've completely thrown myself off there. Xbox scented shower gel and deodorant from Lynx. So now he smells like an Xbox. I really wish they launched that in the UK, because we've got the EXO London coming up pretty soon. And wouldn't it be great to just turn
like
up?
An Xbox.
Everyone smell me. I smell like an Xbox.
Well, so it's called Lift Your Game, and presumably you lift your game and then wash behind it? I don't know.
Exactly.
is that what you do?
But Ian has described these as a generic flavour somewhere between old man spice and pine lime.
Mm.
So smell like somewhere between my granddad and a car.
How old is the car?
I think ask how old my granddad is, you cheeky. How old's the car? A new car smell.
Oh, new car smell. That's not so bad.
Yeah. All right. That's what I'm thinking anyway. He included very silly things this week for us to have a chat about, but I really liked this. what flavour of console would you like to smell like?
Ooh, I would like to smell... I think the one I probably actually smell closest to is an Atari 2600.
Oh, see, now I'm just imagining...
It got a slightly musty.
No, now I'm just imagining a really naff, like, aftershave advert for... Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh yeah, new from David Cage.
Ooh yeah, for him.
For no one.
Just take any old wood paneled console. I think I smell like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, that was my idea. You nicked that.
Well, you didn't even say anything about wood paneling.
That's in the Atari 2060. It's obvious it has wood paneling.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll be the new Atari that probably won't release
VCS
console.
That will never come out that we warned
everyone
about. I will
smell
like
wood panel, and I'll evidently I'll be a massive letdown as well.
Come on, man.
There you go.
It's all right. Don't put yourself down.
We don't think of you as a massive letdown. That would be off brand. You're a big letdown, Common.
I think I have a regular game of smell, sweat and Doritos and energy drinks.
Nice.
Good.
Alrighty. So, looking at the Time-O-Tron that I have in front of me.
Time-O-Tron.
Time-O-Tron.
Some of us call it a clock.
Or a watch, as you Luddites like to call it.
Time-O-Tron. Time-O-Tron 5000 says it's time to finish the podcast.
Time-O-Tron 5000 says it's time for tea. That's what it says. What my Time-O-Tron
5000 says, you're late for work.
Yeah. So yes, that's now what I'm going to call every watch ever for the rest of my life.
I like it. I'm using
I like Time-O-Tron.
No, I like the idea of Time-O-Tron.
What
5,
I especially like is when
being...
you go to a stately home and see a grandfather Time-O-Tron.
I like Time-O-Tron 5000 being a butler that you make dress up as a watch just to tell you the time. And he just has that written on a...
Tim has some sick, perverted fantasies.
That you've made for him.
That went somewhere, didn't it?
The world's most powerful watch. Time-O-Tron 5000. Exclusive.
It's 5:45.
Exclusive.
Thank you, Time-O-Tron.
Sponsored by Gillette's.
Exclusive. Anyway,
it takes
we're
so long
now.
To tell you the time because it has to go through all the sponsors first. But by the time you get the time, it's about half an hour out.
Yeah.
I like it.
Excellent. All right, we're going to go now.
Good.
Because Time-O-Tron says it we should have done so
Time-O-Tron
half an hour
has predicted
ago.
It.
Yes.
Look what Time-O-Tron
has spoken.
Predicted the end of everything.
It's Time-O time. Good.
Anyway, we're going. This has been a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a thing. So you should probably, you know, after we've stopped speaking, you should stop listening because there'll be no more podcast.
Yeah, might as well.
So thank you ever so much for listening to us once again. Make sure you head on over to www.bigredbarrel.com or facebook.com/bigredbarrel or twitter.com/bigredbarrel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or you should go to Big Red Barrel and click on our little Discordy link because we have a little Discord and there's quite a lot of people mm-hmm. in it these days and it's quite good fun.
Yeah, I'm hanging around in there more.
You certainly are. I quite like our Discord. It's where I demand people play Destiny with me.
It's good.
It's lovely. I like it. Tim doesn't understand it, though.
I will one day.
Will you? Will you?
Yeah.
Time-O-Tron. When will Tim understand Discord?
I'll understand it never.
Okay, sorry. Time-O-Tron spoken,
oh,
Tim.
Oh, well. He is the authority on all, obviously.
He is the authority on all such things.
Time-O-Tron.
God, this is going to be one of those memes like bloody Tiny Earl that comes back and bites me in the ass, isn't it?
Time-O-Tron says it's time to die.
Time-O-Tron, no! You were only meant to tell me when the chips were done!
You were supposed to bring balance to my schedule, not destroy it! Don't do it, Time-O-Tron. I have the higher ground. Alright, I just want to make fun of Star Wars now. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, alright. Time to go.
Time-O-Tron to go.
Time-O-Tron to go. So, dear listeners, I've been... Oh, Christ. I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
O-Tron.
Tim-O-Tron. Oh, no.
Tim-O-Tron.
Oh, no. It was me all along.
Stop, you pesky kids.
It was me, Dan.
It was future
me.
Me
all along.
Who have you been, Coleman?
I've been very sorry.
And so you should be.
Indeed. Right, we're going to go now, and we think you should too. So until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
The podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.